Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And also along the way, a great service department to back it all up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. It's a tough day for Matt. The Rangers are at the plate. And meanwhile, we're running out of paper bags. It's just, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. I worry about you. The audience is now worried about you. Yeah. All right. Our play-by-play call of the day.
The 3-2 pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Shallow center field. Coming on is Marsh. Still coming on. Makes the catch. The ball game is over. The drought is over after 11 seasons. The Philadelphia Phillies are going back to the postseason. They'll represent the National League as a wild card representative. And they celebrate behind the mound. And this is a long time coming.
Tommy McCarthy with the call. Scott Fransky also had a great call, too. All right, let's talk to Mike Gesicki, Miami Dolphins. Mike, first of all, from us to you, I know it's one day late, but a belated happy birthday to you.
Steve, what's going on, man? I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
I had to ask you, you got the Jets this week. How many tickets are you going to need for this week's game?
Oh man, I got a lot of people coming. Fortunately, I'm not responsible for getting all the tickets. But I got a lot of people texting me, telling me to look for them, asking me what, you know, if I'm available after the game, all this kind of stuff. So, a lot of people, but you know how it goes, man. Just focus on the game.
And how do you do that, Mike? Because when you do have, look, again, and for those who are in, Mike, of course, is from New Jersey, where he's all state basketball, football, the whole deal. So you're going to have a lot of people there. How do you then allow yourself to zero that out? Is your agent the one that takes care of that to then allow you to have the ability to concentrate on your job?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have no problem telling people, like, hey, man, like, you know, StubHub. So I'll send a link for StubHub.
Like, good,
like,
for you.
Like everybody knows how to get tickets, but for some reason, you know, they think that they could just hit up somebody that plays and they get it for free, which is not the case.
Right.
So I have no problem being honest with people, and especially, I mean, a lot of people already know, you know, the deal and how it goes. But I mean, I've been doing this for a while now, so I kind of know how to handle it. Just kind of keep to myself, and then get ready to go out there for, you know, 3 hours on Sunday, and, you know, make the most of some opportunities.
Every game brings with it intensity. Have you now sensed in playing now in the pros for a while that there's a slightly different intensity when it's a division game like this?
Honestly, no. I think that, you know, obviously, you know, within the division, you know, these are obviously crucial, you know, in terms of, you know, seeding, all that kind of stuff towards the end of the season. But, you know, I feel like, you know, for the most part, I mean, you come in and you get the game plan, and, you know, you're looking at matchups and, you know, how things are going to play out. So, I mean, you know, how important every game is, and not to sound cliche, but it is what it is, because, you know, every game is super crucial. coming down the stretch. So
it's one thing to see Tyreek Hill on the other side of the field. What is, has it been like to have him on your side of the field, and what does he bring to the table that actually helps you in your game?
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek, you know, great teammate, awesome guy. His locker's next to mine, so me and him have some good conversation, and you know, he's a funny dude. And I think, you know, he makes our locker room better. Obviously, you know, makes our team better on the field. He made a ton of plays, super, super fast, obviously. Can change direction really, really well, get in and out of breaks and make plays with the ball in his hand. But he also does attract a lot of attention, which is able to open up some things on our offense for a lot of other guys. So I think that, you know, he's definitely the total package and is exactly as advertised.
This is not the spot where we sit there and we talk about what happened with Tua, except in this vein. What is it like as a teammate when something like that happens and the medical staff's out there? What emotions, Mike, run through your mind when you see any player, and in this case your quarterback, on the field being tended to?
Yeah, obviously, you know, scary situation. You know, super, you know, grateful and happy for him now that, you know, he is okay and, you know, getting better and recovering and all that kind of stuff. But when that kind of stuff, you know, happens, it's obviously it's breathtaking. You know, everybody's speechless. The stadium's quiet. It's definitely a scary moment. And then, you know, watch him, you know, being taken off like that. It's not something that you ever want to see, but you do know it's part of the game, unfortunately. But the fortunate thing is that he is okay and, you know, and is recovering.
So let's get to the pre-injury part of it. He's obviously playing better this year. Where is he playing better from a teammate's point of view?
I think he's just playing confident. He's trusting himself and trusting his reads and getting the ball out quick, kind of doing a good job anticipating, you know, making the plays before the plays happen, in terms of, you know, film study and, you know, being able to anticipate things. So I think he's done a great job. I'm excited for him. I'm happy for him for the way that he has performed. And, you know, looking forward to getting him back out there whenever that is.
Mike, it's obviously with Mike McDaniel, he has brought in his own stamp as to how he wants to play. A, what have you thought about Mike McDaniel to this point? And number two, what are the elements that he has brought to the table that enhances your personal game?
Yeah, I mean, Coach McDaniel's awesome. I mean, he's super personable, definitely a player's coach. The guys love him. You know, everybody, you know, believes in what he's preaching day in and day out. And we're playing hard and we're playing fast. And, you know, we've had some early season success. He's made, you know, an impact on all of us. Just playing hard, playing fast, trusting your technique, and then just going out there and executing. So, I mean, he's done a great job, especially for a, you know, first-year head coach. You know, he's done a phenomenal job. Can't say enough good things about him.
What has that done for the enthusiasm in South Florida with the 3-1 start?
Yeah, we definitely got some energy down here and some juice that, you know, this is my fifth year down here. We haven't really had, you know, much of that, unfortunately. But we definitely got it, you know, rolling down here a little bit. And, you know, the fans are excited, as they should be. You know, hopefully we can keep it rolling.
I was talking with Manny Diaz, Penn State's defensive coordinator, last week when Ian was in the process of rolling through, and I said, anything with your family, because, you know, Manny's had a lot of family. In fact, his dad was the mayor of Miami at one point in his lifetime. He said, nah, he said that side's pretty good. Did it end up that, you know, where you are, was it just more wind and rain, any impact there at all in South Florida?
Yeah, that's pretty much all it was. I live in Fort Lauderdale, so yeah. I mean, nothing. I mean, it was just wind, rain, that kind of stuff. But on the west coast of Florida, that's where it definitely hit. So definitely thinking of those people and, you know, that recovery. Definitely a crazy situation, and, you know, it happens quick. So
you mentioned it's your fifth year. So in your fifth year, where are you now in terms of, A, your improvement, but even in your attitude about the game compared to where you were when you were a rookie or a first or a second-year player?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you just kind of understand how the game works, understand how long of a season it is, and know that there's going to be ups and downs, ebbs and flows, all that kind of stuff. And then the biggest part is just making the most of your opportunities when they present themselves. You know, it's just this game is crazy how it can go. You know, sometimes, you know, the ball bounces your way and sometimes it doesn't. So, you know, I've kind of, you know, been a part of, you know, all different aspects of the game and just kind of never too high, never too low mindset. You know, really, you know, and go out, have fun, enjoy yourself, and, you know, be ready to make plays when presented itself.
Well, I have to ask you about, you know, because when you go through what is now a 17-game regular season, I think we lost you there for a second. When you go through a 17-game regular season, how much more of a premium do you now put on the recovery aspect of it that maybe you had not before?
Oh, absolutely. Especially, you know, in this league, with like you said, you know, the longevity of the season, you know, you have to put a lot of emphasis on, you know, just off day stuff. You know, making sure that your body gets right and, you know, you're feeling good and getting ready to you know, get back out there to compete and, you know, play at your highest level every single week.
So what is it like, so the fans understand, to play on a Sunday but then have to play that Thursday game? I'm going to do this in two parts. We'll start with that, Sunday to Thursday. How tough is that, and how tough is that on the body to do that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you can get out of Sunday, you know, not all that banged up, it's actually almost like a mini bye week type for your physically, because you don't really practice that hard the week leading up to a Thursday game because of it's so short. It's a lot more walkthroughs than mentally. So it's more challenging mentally than it is physically, in my opinion. Now, I mean, if you get banged up on Sunday and you're trying to, you know, nurse an injury to get back for Thursday, then it's definitely a little bit more difficult. But I would say it's more of, you know, trying to pick up on things mentally because, you know, you're about 72 hours less of preparation.
So now let's go to the backside of that. Because you played on Thursday, you don't play again until Sunday. Is it in some ways like having a mini bye week because you had the extra few days?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a mini bye week. It's like I said, if you can get out of it healthy, you know, you get the weekend off, you get a chance to, you know, kind of mental reset, physical reset, and then get ready to, you know, get rolling, because you got, you know, 10 days from game to game. And obviously, you know, we got practice and all that kind of stuff. But 10 days from game to game, that's a nice little stretch.
How much more film do you watch now, Mike? And do you watch film differently now because you're a fifth-year player?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, the film study and, you know, the classroom stuff definitely plays a role, just because you want to see, you know, how different guys are playing, and, you know, what teams are doing schematically against, you know, your position or similar schemes or things like that. So definitely, you know, staying on top of that kind of stuff to be prepared to kind of, you know, be one step ahead mentally, you know, kind of seeing things before they happen out there on the field.
Every single week, everybody up here is proud of you. Thanks so much, Mike, for the time, how much you give back, your level of play. You got a lot of Mike Kosicki people up here, and you will forever have them.
I love it, man. I appreciate it. I will always, you know, have a soft spot in my heart for State College, for sure.
Mike, thanks so much for your time. Good luck this week with the Jets.
All right, Steve. I appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Mike Kosicki of the Miami Dolphins. Judge, no home run. It's been enjoyable spending the afternoon watching a Yankee game with you.
No good! No good! No good!
I mean, Stanton homered last night and Luke said, "All rise." You're like, "No, it's not, I'm sorry." All right, Bob Pompiani in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Let's rock and roll. He is one of the best in the business, without question. It's a privilege to have him on with us, Bob Pompiani. Bob, how have you been?
Steve, it's good to be with you. I think this is a first for me to be on your program, but I've admired your work as well, so thank you.
Now, it is the first time, and really great to have you with us. Obviously, Kenny Pickett is going to be the story. So we've seen 30 minutes of regular season football out of him. What impression did he leave you with?
Well, it's not unlike the impression, I think, that we saw over all these years at Pitt, especially as his career developed. You know, he was smart to go back last year for a fifth year. He was urged to do that by the likes of Peyton Manning and others, and he did it, and he took full advantage of that by improving his game to the point where he went from, I think, a fifth-round pick the year before, that's what people were telling him, into a first-round pick, as it turned out. So I think that was a good move by him, and he developed the kind of things that I think pro teams want. First of all, he's a very competitive kid. And this was on display, by the way. We do all the preseason games, Charlie Batch and us.
Yep.
We never thought he wasn't big enough to handle it. It's just that they brought in Mitch Trubisky, and we believe that they were going to do that in order to take advantage of a guy who was also a high pick, second overall, but with 6 years of experience, you know, that sort of thing. So, but he's displayed all that sort of confidence, the ability to step up in a pocket, knowing when to tuck it, knowing when to run it, knowing, you know, field awareness, football smarts generally. And we saw that, I think, in that. Now, you can look at my statement there and say, well, he threw three interceptions. Yeah, he did. One of them was a Hail Mary, so I discount that. The other two, I thought one was very catchable by Chase Claypool. The other was maybe intended to be an overthrow, and he didn't get enough into it. Whatever the case, for not playing at all in a month, not taking snaps, I thought it was a pretty good 30 minutes, and he gave them certainly a faster heartbeat, you know, somebody who was willing to go in there and make things happen.
With all due respect to Mitch Trubisky, what didn't quite work in 3.5 games?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. I think it was just he was looking over his shoulder. If I had to gauge it, I don't think he would tell you this, but I think he knew that he was on a short string, you know, a short leash, only because whenever you draft a number one pick and it's a quarterback, that quarterback ultimately is going to be your franchise quarterback. That's the message. It doesn't have to be delivered quite that way, but he knew it. He was once in that boat. You know, so were the guys in Chicago who were there who were run off because he was the pick. Well, now he's in the other side of that. So I think maybe he managed it a little too cautiously. Maybe looking back, what he should have done is, I'm not going to give him the chance to win a job here. I'm going to play my best. And never saw that kind of a aggressive attitude to me. It was more, you know, not wanting to make a mistake. And, of course, coaches appreciate that. But overall, it was just a kind of a flat offense. They hadn't delivered many offensive scores, and he just got to the point where 10-6 at halftime, first quarter, second quarter, no offensive touchdowns again. And you know, I think it helped, Steve, that they were in Acrisure Stadium and the people were chanting Kenny's name, and Mike Tomlin, despite him saying he doesn't hear that, I'm sure he had to hear that, and he felt the time was right.
Bob, it's interesting, from doing Penn State Pitt games when they had the 4-game series, Matt Canada has more experience with Kenny Pickett than he does with Mitch Trubisky. What kind of payoff eventually can there be there?
Well, first of all, it comes down to, you know, the mobility factor that both of those guys have. But I think maybe he's more comfortable with Kenny Pickett's style of play and understands that. But I think basically this is still going to be the same playbook that he's been using, the same play calling that he's been using, but he's hoping for a different and more aggressive approach to it. Again, this is, you know, I'll go, Steven. When you see plays, you can look and make blame, think it's one thing, but we don't really know what it is. It could be a miscommunication that it's on somebody else. I think Mitch Trubisky was in that boat. I don't think he was making clear enough and decisive enough decisions. I think Kenny Pickett, and I think Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin know this, will make quicker decisions, not afraid to make them. We saw him in the preseason game. That's the one takeaway I had more than anything, is he was willing to you know, not look, not stare down guys, which I think Trubisky was doing, and look the field, but also make a quick decision when he had to.
Bob, what are the dominoes? The defense has played well, but what are the dominoes that you're seeing defensively without T.J. Watt on the field that may be affecting them a bit?
I think they play well for three quarters most of the time, but the fourth quarter has been a big disappointment.
I
saw that again this week. They gave up two drives of 181 yards, 165 yards, and they make, you know, Zach Wilson, who is making his debut this season, coming off an injury, 10 of 12 in that fourth quarter for 128, and you just cannot do that. There were big chunks of yards, too. There was a second and 10 that turned into be a 35-yard gain. There was a fourth and 7 conversion where Corey Davis was wide open, and you can't do that. So the trickle-down is a large one. There's no question. Whenever you have a guy who demands double teams like TJ does, it frees up others like Cam Hayward. It frees up others on the defensive line like Larry Ogunjobi or linebackers even. Without him there, I think you saw last week and the week before, people were double-teaming Cam Hayward. This past week, he didn't have much impact at all. So I think that's where the domino effect occurs. Now, they've also had some injuries in the secondary, which limited their blitzing. In fact, in the last two drives of that fourth quarter against the Jets, they didn't blitz at all. And normally they would do that with a younger quarterback, especially one they've seen for the first time. They didn't do any of that because I don't think they were comfortable with the kind of personnel groupings they had.
Bob, the Steeler fan base has enjoyed so much success over the years, and of course under Mike there have not been any losing seasons. Are they ready for this? I mean, as a fan base, to experience something that may not go the way other seasons have gone?
I think yes, and it's funny, it's a dynamic, Steve, that comes being a local player, or at least someone who played here. Obviously, if that was somebody else who had no attachment to Pittsburgh whatsoever, I don't know if they would be so encouraged by what they see from him or encouraged for the future expectations they want from him. But because it's Kenny Pickett, because he played his entire career here at Pitt, I think that gives him an advantage that way. And there'll be a honeymoon period. Don't mistake that. When he throws three interceptions in a game that are meaningful interceptions and they're all on him, he's not going to hear boos the way Trubisky or Rudolph would have heard. So there's that honeymoon period. But ultimately, I think they believe he's the guy who's going to lead them to the next level. And this is a tough business to try to assess players, because as many guys who've been successful as first-round picks, there are equally as many, if not more, who've not been able to answer that bell. So this is the first time they had somebody other than Ben Roethlisberger. Mike Tomlin didn't have to worry about this kind of stuff. First time ever. So, he's gone through this sequence of putting Trubisky in. Rudolph played some time in the preseason. He wasn't going to get the job. And so now he's decided it's time for the future. The future is now. The future may take some hits. I don't know that it's going to be smooth. You can look at Trevor Lawrence to see that from last year in Jacksonville, even to this year. He had four fumbles last week. You can see that with other guys who have been top-end quarterbacks. It takes time. Joe Burrow had a really difficult first year. Some of them don't even play, like Patrick Mahomes. So we'll see. But I think they're comfortable with him. Mike Tomlin seems to light up when he mentions the fact that he was available and they went after him. He was the number one guy on the board, which many people doubted because Tomlin was playing the Malik Willis card pretty hard.
Yeah. He was, as a matter of fact. Does he have enough running game to at least help him out, in your opinion, or do they need more to help?
Well, I think they need a better offensive line. I think that's one of the things they've miscalculated over the last couple of years. Last year's starting center, Kendrick Green, is now no longer even part of their rotation. He's been inactive in the first 4 weeks. So that's where it starts. Can he run? Sure. He's not a Josh Allen. He's certainly not a Lamar Jackson. He's not any of those guys. But what he is someone who understands that he can use his legs when necessary to extend a play, to go to, to run for a first down, or more importantly, just to get out of harm's way to create opportunities, rolling left or right. He's been good about throwing the ball from his right or rolling left and then squaring his shoulders. He does that very well. So I don't think he's going to ever lead any teams in rushing, but what I do think is he's going to use his legs to help his arm get some opportunities, that may not be available in the pocket when necessary.
Yeah, Kendrick Green, after watching him at Illinois, I didn't have the easiest feeling in the world. Yeah, I didn't have the easiest feeling about that pick. Bob, a pleasure. Thanks for carving out some time for us today. Really appreciate it, and hopefully it'll be the first of several times we have you on.
Oh, absolutely. For somebody like you, you call anytime. I'd be happy to be on and give you kind of the Pittsburgh perspective of what's going on. But this next four games ain't going to be easy. You got the Bills this week on the road. Then they have Tampa, and Tom Brady's getting divorced. That's not good. Then you have at Miami and at Philly. That's a rough way to start your career as starter.
that's called a gauntlet. So they got a little gauntlet they got to go through. I guess we'll find out a lot by the end of the month.
Yeah, we will, for sure.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
The outstanding Bob Pompiani from Pittsburgh. We'll come back. Len Macknell will shift gears, go to the Eagles. You okay? Just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm good. I'm good. Enjoyed hearing from Bob. I was happy that we finally got him to join us, so that makes life better for me.
No, Bob's great. I'm just... Your guy is circling a fogged-in airport right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
I mean, and you're emotionally falling apart. Uh-oh, ninth inning coming up. Can they get number 99 to homer in win number 99? What do you think, huh? You like the linkage?
You know what? That would be actually fate in itself right there because of everything linked to all this history between him and Maris and everything. So, yes, that would be fitting if he does it for win 99. Absolutely.
Not going to happen. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay. Your guy is 3 for his last 15 at the plate with 7 strikeouts. Really?
Yeah, not good.
I mean, we're watching the wheels fly off, not fall off, fly off the wagon. Playoffs coming up. Pressure's going to be even greater. What is he going to do then?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Now, good news. I think he's on deck. I think they brought out a tee. All right, so you'll experience this at this point in your life. Do we have Glenn today?
Yes, he's ready to go.
Glenn Mack now joins us from Philly. Glenn, how you been?
Doing great, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Eagles are 4-0. I said earlier that if this were a matchup a couple of years ago with Arizona, I'd check mark that Kyler Murray would have the advantage at quarterback. Now I don't think it's close. Jalen Hurts, as you've watched his development, Glenn, what clicks for him now in his development that's really impressed you?
He doesn't make bad plays, although he did make one last week. The first interception he threw was a bad play. But he doesn't make dumb throws. And this is what you want out of a young quarterback who's a running quarterback. You teach him. Look for your second read. Look for your third read. Don't bail in the pocket if your first read isn't open. And he is doing that, and he is spreading the ball around, and it's a wonderful thing down here.
No question. So let's get to the read option part. What has that done for Miles Sanders in this running game?
Took you less than a minute to bring up the Penn State grad, didn't it?
I had to bring up the Penn State guy, but what is Jalen Hurts' ability to run it meant to how Miles runs the ball?
Well, it's tremendous because and you saw several plays last week, and credit to Hurts, when it's the read option, he has the ball, he can hand it off to Sanders or keep it, and he sees the rusher coming, and Hurts did a great job of knowing whether the defender was coming at him or coming at Sanders. And if the defender was coming at Sanders, he kept it. He did a different play. If the defender was coming at him, he gave it to Miles. And Sanders had all kinds of room and all kinds of great blocking. I mean, the biggest story, and I know we'll get to this, of last week's game to me, was the Eagles' offensive line just bullied Jacksonville. But credit to Sanders, too, because he found the seam, right? So he gets through kind of the first line, but then he made the moves and had the power to get through the second line into the third, and that's why he ended up with the best day of his career.
We started to see the makings of this offensive line a year ago. What's even better about them now, Glenn?
The depth. Listen, they lost two of their starting linemen in that game. Jordan Mailata went out early, left in the first quarter. Jordan Mailata is a terrific player for them, and then they lost Isaac Seumalo, the guard. So they lost two guys in the game. Jack Driscoll comes in at tackle and plays really well. Sua Opeta comes in at guard and plays well. They have the rookie Juergens, who's ready to come off the bench, might do it this week. What you have with that line is you have the veterans, Jason Kelce, who's the leader and the captain and everybody's favorite mummer, Lane Johnson, who may be playing the best football of his life at this point, and then you got these kids in Dickerson, in Driscoll, in really, well, Mylott has been around a while, but not starting that many years. And you just have this great blend of experience and youth and talent.
What has Brown's presence meant for Smith on the other side?
Well, that's the listen, I think that's the best thing the Eagles have done in a long time. The Eagles invested, let's talk about what they've invested in this position, right? In the receiver corps. So he was a second round pick in Dallas Goedert. I think it was 2018 when they drafted him. You have the first round pick last year in Devontae Smith, and then you trade a first rounder this year for AJ Brown. So you've invested a lot in that position. You go out and you sign Zach Pascal as, you know, kind of a inside guy, and Quez Watkins later as a speed guy. But AJ Brown likes to say, in the third person, mind you, AJ Brown is always open. And you know what? It's true. He is. He is always open. It's astounding. He's the best we've seen in this town since Terrell Owens. And what his presence does, of course, means that they can't double Devontae Smith, means that it opens the running game, means that Dallas Goedert is often against a linebacker as opposed to a safety, so he's always open. And I will give total credit to the Eagles general manager, Howie Roseman, because the axiom in this town, and I think a lot of places, was wide receivers aren't important. You don't invest in wide receivers. They're replaceable parts. And the Eagles did that for way too many years, other than Terrell Owens. They saw how the league is moving. The Eagles, and I'll say, not that we want to discuss much, but the Dolphins did the same thing. If you look what they did last year, they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. This year they go out and get the best available guy, right?
Yep.
Kansas City. And before Tua got hurt, they were really rolling as well. It's kind of a new direction, and it's working very well for the Eagles.
Yeah, we just had Mike Gesicki on the show, and we talked about that very fact, how it's opened up the whole field for them. Now, let's flip it to the other side. We've talked about depth on the offensive line. What is the depth meant on the defensive line? Because I feel like Howie has gone about building a football team.
Yeah.
The way he's gone about this. Fair?
Yeah. I think it's true. And we were talking about this morning, which is, I'm going to digress for a second before I answer your question. I'll ask you a question. If you kind of rate every unit, right, running back, quarterback, wide receiver, line, defense, linebacker, et cetera, there's not one unit where the Eagles are in the bottom half of the league. And I'd be hard-pressed. I mean, I guess the weakest unit is the safeties, if you want to look at them separate from the cornerbacks, because the cornerbacks are great. But Howie has built a football team, as you just said, strong everywhere. And on the defense, you got a rookie Jordan Davis playing maybe 20 plays a game, and he's just going to get better. And by the way, Fletcher Cox has really rebounded this year. You got guys like Milton Williams coming off the bench, who's pretty damn good. And especially on defensive line, where, you know, you want to give guys a breather. It's not offensive line, they play every down. Defensive line, they shuffle in and out. And when you have depth there, man, it really helps.
And what has it meant to the sub-packages, the depth he's built in the secondary?
Yeah, well, that too, although now we've got some injuries there, so I want to see how that plays out. Avante Maddox is hurt. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out. And Darius Slay left the game on Sunday. Gosh, Slay's been having just a great, great season. Nick Sirianni put on his best football coach mode when he was asked about all the injuries. He said, well, you know, we expect some of them to be back this week, but he's not telling you who and when and what. So how does the depth help? The depth helps when you have Slay and Maddox out. Zach McPherson, who was a fourth-round pick last year, I think he can be pretty good. The one kid who looked shaky to me was the kid they traded for, Josiah Scott, who came in last week for Maddox, and he looked a little shaky. But they got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the offseason. Mm-hmm. He's good. you know, they got James Bradbury from New York.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know how and why the Giants let this guy go.
I don't
either. Guess I know why, which is they were up against the cap, which was bad cap management. But we don't talk about James Bradbury a lot, but he's been great. And his interception last Sunday really helped turn the game around when the Eagles were down.
Yeah, Zach McPherson was here for 2 years before he transferred.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, his brother Josh, in fact, was one of my interns, as a matter of fact.
By the way, very nice kid.
Yeah, isn't he? He's a great, great kid. Great family.
Yeah,
his brother's a
nice
great guy. So I have to ask you one curious aspect of this. I know Elliott got tagged really good on that play. But up like a possession, I don't call it a score, up a possession, he elected to go for it on fourth down, right, instead of kicking a field goal. Did you find that curious, and what was his response to it?
I found it curious, but this is who Nick is. He went for it on fourth down 5 times in that game. Worked 3 of the 5. You know, got some scores out of that. That's just who he is. I kind of like it overall. Yeah, I can question 1 or 2 times, but this is his philosophy. He's not going to punt if he's between the 40s. I mean, if it's 4th and 8, he's going to punt. But, you know, if it's 4th and 3 between the 40s, he's going for it. And I admire that. If he's down in the red zone and he thinks he's got to make him a 4th down rather than a field goal, go for a touchdown, he's going to do it. I will tell you, I think Elliott's, they were worried about Elliott. They were worried about him. But.
Because to me, I have no problem with going for 4th downs. None. Except when it comes to a time and score situation.
Yeah, I get it.
And in other words, how many possessions are left in the game?
Yep.
And that's the only reason why I question that one.
Yeah, but because, I do, again, and they're telling you nothing, right? It's football,
but again,
so it's
and I'm
like
with
they're
you.
Guarding
I think Elliott,
state secrets.
Yes, and but, I agree with you. I think that played into it. Elliott wasn't quite right, so let's just do this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, Glenn. Hey, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your time, as always. Great insight. It's been a fun start, and they look pretty darn good.
There you go. Only undefeated team in the league. Steve, anytime. Always my pleasure.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate you.
All right. You got it. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll come back. Wrap it up in a moment. He lined out the short. It's just...
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
I'm telling you. You got issues right now. He can't get the ball out of the infield. He's now looking up at the sky and realizing, where is the sky? Well, that's because there's a roof, Aaron. It's just like... I'm starting to get worried about him.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
I mean, Alonzo has more RBIs than he does. And then he had the most RBIs in New York.
Well, at least the Yankees won their division. The Mets didn't plummet. And the Mets plummeted, so, you know, whatever.
They're both in the playoffs. So yeah, that's fine. You wish you had DeGrom and Scherzer. All right.
I'm not denying that. No question about it.
I'm just kidding. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4 Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
And Matt breathing into a bag. Just, it's, It's not going well for you.
As far as this goes, yeah.
It's not going well.
But talking some 4-0 Eagles football certainly helps.
Yeah, but they don't play till Sunday. It's Tuesday. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, well, we're in the here and now. I mean, you know, we're popping out, lining out, striking out. We're striking out more and we're getting hits. I mean, you know, maybe triple crown gone.
Pretty much, yeah.
Quick.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. I mean, he may not even finish second.
And Luis Arraez is playing tonight for the Twins in Chicago.
That set him.
Especially because he's got the hamstring or whatever he's got going on. He's been out the last couple of games.
And I care about people. I don't want them hurt.
He'd have to go 3-for-3 to get to 313, 4-for-4 to get to 315.
That's what I like. Jack and I will talk, and we'll talk about a player on another team. This is like over dinner, right? And I'll say, you know, I think when I talk to him, I'm going to tell him, I think it would be good for you to go to the league. Because I care. Jack says, you always care so much about the young people. I says, yeah, of course. I said, in the end, does it maybe benefit Penn State? Oh, it might. I said, but I care about the kids. Why don't you go to the league? I think you're ready. I think your guy needs to sit tonight. What do you think? I'm kidding. Don't sit him.
No, honestly, if there were a few more games left, then I would say maybe.
Okay, let me put it this way, just so you understand. Because the Yankees are getting a first-round bye, they don't need to sit him. He will then get ample time to rest and recalibrate.
No, that's valid.
Because
yeah.
It's 3 or 4 days. If the Yankees were playing right away out of the gate, or, for example, let's give you a worst-case scenario. Let's go back to last year. Say they were in a scenario where they had to play the one-game playoff. Now, I think there would have to be serious decisions made. But they're not in that spot. They're in a spot where they know they have a first-round bye. He's got a chance at history. You get one shot at doing this. Let him do it. Let him do it. You know, and again, we're all rooting for him. The only part that's entertaining is that, like you ever see the movie Skyfall?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Daniel Craig gets shot and falls into the water and then goes over a waterfall. Right? I kind of picture you right now, just cascading down the fall.